Okay, we're back live. A little bit later than usual, but well, enough of that. It's time for HackerMind. Everything happened to you.
Man, I don't know.
It's like you're cursed.
Man's got his foot on my back and he's not giving up. Till I'm dead or something, I don't know.
It's like you just can't get a break.
No, I can't. Nothing ever happens to you. It's always to me.
It seems like the things I talk about wind up happening to you.
Yeah.
In real life.
Well, yeah.
You know, I talk about,
No, I'm their whipping boy.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I talk about, people being arrested for really stupid reasons.
And what do? I go and get myself arrested.
Yeah, you know, I come home one day, and I'm like, where's Dash? Dash is nowhere to be found.
Where was I?
You were in jail, Dash.
Yes, I was.
Eventually, you did come back. And I found out the whole thing. You know, you went to jail, you went to a mental hospital. But now we have an entirely new, well, I suppose you can call it a crisis, although it's, well, I don't think it's really that big of a deal, but...
It's a hassle.
It's a hassle. That's the perfect word to describe it. We've talked about people being banned from ISPs for port scanning before, and just last week we were talking about how that Adrian Lamo was searching for proxies on networks. That, of course, being our recorded show, right?
Right, our recorded show, our show that wasn't live.
Yeah, but we're back now. Live 365 is working. But anyway, we were talking about Adrian Lamo and how he was scanning for proxy servers, and that caught your interest, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did a little bit.
And you were curious to see exactly how many proxies out there were still left wide open.
Right, I was. Exactly.
Now, why don't you tell people what you did with that curiosity? You know, you wanted to know what was out there, so what'd you do?
Well, I downloaded Proxy Hunter. Well, I didn't download it. I got from you.
Me as in some anonymous person, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got it, and I just tried to... I tried a couple of different networks, like Altel. What else did I try?
No comment there.
I can't think. Anyways, the other one I tried was a local college in my city.
Yeah, it's probably better that you don't think up the other ones.
Okay, I won't.
Okay.
Should I not use the A word?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, I scanned, I searched for a proxy on a local college in my city.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that same night or day, I don't remember what it was Saturday, I port scanned this. I port scanned said college.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what I did.
So you did a port scan and a proxy scan?
Yes, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly.
Then...
I did both of those.
Okay, so then the next day you wake up.
Next day I wake up.
And, I came home from class and I got a message from you, and you had said...
I had said that... For some reason, I couldn't log on to my internet service provider because I got an error message when I tried to dial up that said username or password is not valid on the domain.
Hmm.
Every time I tried to dial up, it gave me that error.
Now, what did you think that meant?
I had no idea. It had happened to me before, but it was just a temporary problem, probably a problem with their servers or something.
Right.
This time, it wasn't, you know, stopping. It was just kept on giving me the same error every time I tried to dial up.
Mm-hmm.
So all day Sunday, and I couldn't call my internet service provider because they're closed on Sundays.
Of course, obviously. So what did you do come Monday?
Come Monday, I called them up, and they were there this time. They were open on Monday.
Oh, that's good.
And I asked them, I said, hey, I can't log on, you know, I'm getting this error. They said, yeah, we had to delete your account. We had to get rid of you because we got a call from a caller here that complained about you for scanning them, so we just got rid of your account.
So they played judge, jury, and executioner.
Indeed, they did.
Now, this ISP was called Cyberback.
Right, Cyberback.
And the school was, what was it?
UCA, University of Central Arkansas.
UCA.edu is where they can be found.
Right.
And if you port scan them, be careful because they will come after you. So, now, Dash, when you heard that you had been kicked off of this ISP that you had been using for years, how'd you feel?
I felt really kicked off, to say the least, because I've been with the ISP basically ever since they started. You know, they used to be in this little room behind the gas station, you know. Mm. That's where I first got my internet. And now they're in this big building and everything. But, you know, they cut me off without even waiting till Monday to give me a phone call since they weren't open Sunday. And I find it, when I tried to call Sunday and nobody answered, I find that funny because they had to delete my account Sunday.
Right.
You know, so somebody was there to do it, but apparently they can't answer the phone.
No warning, no...
No phone call. I had to call them to find out what happened.
They didn't even, you know, tell you, listen, we had a complaint, please don't do this?
No, they never gave me any warnings at all.
Did they give you any options to get your account back?
No, they wouldn't give me my account back. They said, no, I couldn't have it back.
So this ISP that you've had for years just left you out in the cold as far as internet access goes because one university claimed that you were port scanning them.
Exactly.
And that's all it took, just one claim that you were doing this.
Well, actually, I don't think there was just one claim because I did port scan them before in the past, but I never did anything else, you know. I was just curious to see what they had open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was on the phone with the guy, he said he had a couple complaints.
A couple complaints.
And the fact that he didn't call me up when he got the first one, instead, you know, gave me a warning or something.
That's what I'm wondering.
He didn't, you know, it apparently did happen before, because I have port scanned it before.
See, that's exactly what I'm wondering here, because we've always said on this show that most hackers, not that this was an act of hacking or an attack of any kind, but most hackers will, you know, turn away and just say, okay, I won't do it anymore, when they're given a nice verbal warning, you know, just saying a nice little saying that says, hey, you know, just please don't do this. They stop.
Right, but I didn't get that warning.
But you didn't get this warning. Instead, these warnings, I guess, these threats, more like it, went to the ISP saying, hey, listen, this guy is doing this, and they never reached you.
No, they didn't.
They never took the time to pay for the cost of the phone call to let you know we got a complaint. They just kept...
They don't have to pay for the cost of the phone call. It's a local call.
Well, you get the idea. They kept on waiting and waiting and waiting until...
Until they just got rid of me and didn't even give me a phone call to tell me it happened or a warning or anything. It was just one day, couldn't log on.
Now, of course, this is the type of thing that we've talked about many times in the show, but when it actually happens to you, it's a bit of a different feeling. You know, you feel pretty violated, you feel angry, upset,
Yeah. And
you want to do something, right?
Yeah, I do.
So what I did was using my alias, Curtis Walker, who works for Frequency Magazine. No, you know, nothing inaccurate there. You're allowed to have an alias, and I do work for Frequency. I decided to go and email Cyberback.
Yeah.
So this is the email that I sent to them. Cyberback, my name is Curtis Walker. I'm a freelance writer for the publication entitled Frequency. We're a magazine focused on the online world, technology, and how it affects the average user. Currently, we're working on a story regarding individual rights online and violations of those rights. We've received dozens of letters from our readers informing us that your company has been banning users from their accounts due to complaints of port scanning. This grabbed our attention as port scanning is not illegal, and the cancellation of an account due to such accusations hurts the user who did nothing more than look around. I would be most appreciative for your side of the story, and as I could find no specific email for such a request, I felt this was the best choice. Any information regarding why people get banned for port scanning and or how you justify this would be most appreciated, as well as any other comments you may have. Thank you. And I signed to Curtis Walker, Frequency Magazine, HM Productions, and then I left my email.
Very nice email. I think it was, very nice.
I have to say very well written, if I do say so myself.
It was very, it wasn't threatening or mean.
Not at all. And everything in it was honest. When I said that we've received dozens of complaints, well, let's face it, this has happened more than once. Okay, this has happened more than once. CyberBack has kicked more than one person for port scanning. So all I was asking for was their side of the story on this matter. And unfortunately, I received two emails as replies, both for the exact same thing, and they were anything but friendly. And here's the email that I received from CyberBack's abuse team. Mr. Walker, please forgive my skepticism, but I'm having trouble validating the existence of your publication and URL, it's actually a URL, or phone number in your signature would be helpful. Free mail from linuxmail.org doesn't help the validation process either. A web search for Frequency Magazine and HM Productions turned up zero, as well as a search through the Library of Congress online. As my schedule is very busy, he's too busy booting people for port scanning, you'll understand my reasoning for declination to respond to your inquiries. Keep in mind, too, if my suspicions are correct, you may be violating Section 10C of the linuxmail.org Terms of Service, stating you agree to not use the services to impersonate any person or entity, including but not limited to linuxmail.org official, forum leader, guide, or host, or falsely state or otherwise misrepresent your affiliation with a person or entity. However, if my suspicions are incorrect, please accept my apologies. I do not accept your apologies. And furthermore, I would like to say that I am not impersonating anyone. I am stating my position. I work for Frequency Magazine, and I'd like to have these questions answered. But because they don't want to answer them, because doing so would result in them basically saying that they can their users for no reason whatsoever, he sends back this this little threatening letter saying you're violating Linux Mail's acceptable use policy.
So you send him a nice, well-written email, and he replies with accusing you of impersonating someone.
Yeah, he even goes so far as to actually go through the Linux Mail's acceptable use policy and print it back to me.
Right.
He's making a threat. Now, if that is an indication that I struck a nerve, I don't know what is. I consider this a success, because if he had come back and explained it all, we would just get a bunch of BS, that sounds like, vague excuses and reasoning and blah, blah, blah. But this shows you more clearly than anything else could that we pointed something out to him. We showed them that, hey, you're making a big mistake by doing this, and they don't want to admit to it. So they can be found at cyberback.com.
It wouldn't even bother me very much if I'd gotten an email or a phone call, telling me to stop it.
Yeah.
I'd lose my account, but I didn't.
And that's what angers me so much, is that port scanning is not illegal. This university must get millions of port scans. I mean, they're a university, for crying out loud. Do they go around calling up all these ISPs, fighting all these port scans?
Probably not. I don't know. They must do it sometime, because they got me.
They got you, and you scanned them, what, 2-3 times?
Yeah, I scanned them, and they don't have any log of anything else I've ever tried to do to them.
Now, I know Proxy Hunter is pretty loud, but still.
That's just scanning for another port,
Yeah, and it should be no reason to just suddenly go and kick someone off the internet. So, cyberback.com, I believe you can reach them at info@cyberback.com, and I encourage people to start up Linux Mail accounts and email info@cyberback.com. And please, I encourage you to also go to their website and have a look around and find out what other emails they could be reached at, and let them know that banning people for port scanning is, well, it should be illegal, because port scanning is not a crime. And also, it's important to point out that in their terms of service, am I correct, Dash, they do not specify port scanning.
No, they don't.
They say hacking. Of course, hacking. That can be anything, but port scanning is not hacking.
No, it's not.
So, cyberback.com, please, you know, all you got to do is set up one Linux Mail account. If you're, you know, if you're worried about privacy and anonymity, and just send them an email. You don't have to be mean. There's no reason to sink to their level and start sending threats. Just let them know that this isn't right. And also, uca.edu. Go ahead and give them a port scan if you feel so bold.
The admins there must have, you know, a really big stick up their ass.
And nothing better to do.
Yeah. But also, if you want to see the results of the port scan on UCA, go to the HackerMind message board.
Right, and we'll be publishing those in frequency as well as these letters and so on and so forth to show them, not that, you know, we're poor sports about these things. I think they showed us that that's exactly what they are, but because people need to know about this. They need to see who's doing it, where they're doing it, and what they can do about it. So that's why we're sending you to cyberback.com and uca.edu. But, yeah, I'd say that pretty much covers that.
Yeah.
How's it going in the search for the new ISP?
Well, it's going all right. I'm using somebody else's, my friend's account right now, and you know, but now I'm gonna find a new ISP. I gotta pay the new one-time setup fee. You know.
You know what I think people should do, since there's nothing that a university can do to you if you port scan, what I suggest people do is get a nice net zero account. You know, get one of those disks that are free and just port scan the hell out of them.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need that account. You know, it's just this free thing. So go ahead, port scan them. Go to a school's computer and port scan them. Because, not for revenge, port scans will not hurt anyone. You know, that's the whole point we're trying to make. But because we got to show them that, look, this isn't doing anything. All right. Before I forget, irc.box.sk. I know we're on a little late tonight, so some of you aren't getting this show, but we will be having it for download, or we will be having it available for download tomorrow, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that's our new system. We do a show live, and it will be at 10 o'clock, you know, next week and the week after. But, you know, for right now, it's at midnight. We do a live show, we record it, and then we have it available for download from the news section on our site. That's the front page. So that if you want to collect episodes, you can download it the next day or, you know, for the remainder of the week. Or, if you don't want to download it, you can still check out the stream and hear it that way. So, you can go into irc.box.sk, channel HackerMind, and chat with some of the coolest people around.
I got three ways to listen to HackerMind: either live, download it, or listen to the stream.
There you go. Now all we got to do is figure out how to archive stuff.
Yeah.
But space is a problem. Okay, let's move on here. I wanted to really show people something pretty cool. Dash, do you know what a reorder is?
A reorder?
Yeah.
Damn, I used to. Didn't we talk about this before?
Maybe you know it better as a fast busy. It's one of those busy...
Yeah, that's what it is.
One of those busy signals that you get that goes bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to try to show people that. So, hold on one second.
All right.
Now, this is a reorder from a 5ESS phone switch, I believe. Hold on. Just dial a pound sign. There's the reorder. All right, Dash, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I showed them the reorder, which
is
being fast busy. Now, I want to show them a reorder on a actual step office. Now, a step office is a step-by-step switch, or it's the place where a step-by-step switch is located. And this one happens to be located in Nantes, Quebec, whatever you want, Canada.
Canada.
What's that?
Canada. So this is going to cost you some money?
No, because I'm calling a reorder.
Oh, yeah. it's kind of late, so, not all there. But go ahead.
You never really are. But okay, so now, what's so special about this? Well, this is pretty much the only step office left in the world, as far as I know, certainly in North America. This is the old-fashioned way of calling. This is how calls were made. This is the type of switch that was used back in the 70s. This is the equipment that you can blue box on. Okay, yes, blue, not red, blue. This is the system where you dial a number, you can hear the tones going through the line, you can hear 2600 in the background if you listen hard enough. And here's what a reorder sounds like, or would have sounded like, back in the 1970s. So, hold on, Dash. Did I get it? There we go. Yes, that's a reorder on a step office switch.
Bad. Oh, okay.
Okay, Dash. Man, I'll tell you, I haven't heard one of those since I was a little kid. You know, little tear, you know?
Yeah.
I picked up the phone when I was a little kid, you know, dialing the rotary dial, hearing that. Oh. Now, here, I have some numbers if people want to call them. I'll let you know which ones are free and which ones are going to cost you. Okay, to hear the reorder, which is not very exciting, you can dial 819-547-3333. That'll get you the old-fashioned reorder on an actual step-by-step switch. If you want to hear something a bit more interesting, this is an actual intercept operator. An intercept operator was, it used to be used when people would dial a vacant line that would have a message that would say something to the effect of, the number you were dialing has been disconnected, please hang up and try your call again. That's what you would hear today. Well, back then, if you hit a vacant line, you would be transferred to an operator who would ask you what number you're trying to dial. That operator would then dial the number, and you would be able to see if it was working or not. Now, doing something like that today would probably cost you about $10, but back then, it was free, and I'm assuming it still is up on this step office. To reach that, you can dial 819-547-3611. And anyone that may want to scan out these numbers, everything is 819-547-3-something, last three digits. There's only like 300 actual numbers up in this tiny little town, but if you have the time, give them a call. Oh, one more. Try 819-547-3000, and you'll get a quiet line. When you get that quiet line, call it with another phone, like a cell phone, for example, and you'll get a busy. And the busy should be able to trip the other line that you're on into ringing, because the ring and tip go into the switch, from what I understand, and then there's the sleeve? Yeah, the sleeve wire that isn't completely in all the way, and so when you dial it with another line, it's kind of confusing, but just play around with it, have fun, because I don't know how long it's going to be there. And Dash, give me one good reason why I shouldn't go up there and just try out a blue box, just to go, holy crap, this is cool.
How far is it from you?
About 6 hours.
Then I ain't got a reason.
You ain't got a reason.
Nope. Go ahead, hop on the train, go up there, get in your car and go up there.
To play with a payphone. Only me, you know? Only
just,
me.
Episode from up there in a phone booth or something.
Stop giving me ideas. I'm serious, Dash. You're giving me ideas here. You're telling me to actually do a show on a step-by-step switch. That is so cool. I want to do that.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay, you'll do that.
All right, Dash, let's not wait till the end for you. What do you have for us?
Oh, you want to hear from me?
Well, no, but okay.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Look, I got some articles trying to find the best one to talk about. Did you know Hotmail runs on Unix.
Damn it, Dash, I told you that.
Oh, you told me...
I told you Microsoft's site.
Yeah.
That's one of Microsoft's sites.
Yeah, I was just telling you now that Hotmail also runs FreeBSD.
How about that? Microsoft can't even run their... They don't even trust their own equipment to run their site. They don't trust their own software to keep a site up and running. They have to rely on Unix and Apache. Think Apache.
That's funny.
That's pretty sad.
That's sad and funny at the same time.
Microsoft does not even trust their own software to keep a site secure. And yet they're the leader of, what am I looking for here? They're the leader of, pretty much everything.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
All right, so do you have an article about that?
Yeah, I have a little something. All right, let's see here.
A little something?
There you go, something. Microsoft admits it still hasn't upgraded its Hotmail system in Windows almost 20 years after embarking on the task, and 15 months after the first load balancing machines began to be shifted to Windows 2000 from FreeBSD. The snippet emerged in the latest pissing contest between Oracle and Microsoft. The details of which are too boring to go into here because you've heard them so many times before. Now, do you know what they're talking about here?
Between Oracle and Microsoft? No, not really.
Well, we should have found out, but we don't know.
Although I do have something about Oracle, but go ahead.
Okay. But Microsoft spokesperson told Reuters yesterday that Hotmail is the only...
Reuters.
Listen to this. Reuters yesterday... hang on. But Microsoft spokesperson told Reuters...
Reuters.
Yesterday, that Hotmail is the only Microsoft system that runs on Unix, and that the migration is still in progress. Now, you say Microsoft's website.
That's what I heard on Off the Hook, yeah.
This article says only Hotmail. Check with Netcraft shows that Hotmail's front-end servers do indeed run Windows 2000. So Microsoft can faithfully claim that the website runs Windows.
Okay, but if I tell that to Microsoft.com, and I get into port 23, I'm going to be suspicious.
But the infrastructure is still stored on a BSD kit. How much, we're not sure, but when we receive the hard numbers, we'll tell you. This is from theregister.co.uk. So, yeah, they run BSD.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny. I thought that was pretty funny.
That really is, because Microsoft sucks.
Also, you know, we've been talking about Magic Lantern the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Well, the FBI finally confirmed that it exists.
Oh, so they finally came about and told us that, yeah, it is real.
They finally made it to basically making, basically renaming Sub 7 to Magic Lantern and sending it out to you. Well, no, not actually, but it is in development, they say.
It is in development. Now, does the FBI think that they can do whatever they want for the hell of it?
Yeah.
There's nothing holding them back there, you know, if... Hey, in this anti-terrorism world, we can stick whatever we want in your computer and you got to deal with it?
Yeah.
Okay, suppose they did put that in my computer. Would I be in violation of the DMCA if I reverse-engineered it to spy on them?
Yeah.
What if I deleted it?
If you can find it, more power to you.
Well, you know, they'll probably be real idiots and use, like, 31337 as the port number.
Yeah.
So, what the hell is running on port 666? What's this? So now we have Magic Lantern out there. And people worry about hackers. They worry about some 15-year-old sitting in his room, typing away at a keyboard, doing absolutely nothing. And here's the FBI actually considering putting Trojans into people's computers.
You need to stop worrying about those little 15-year-old hacker guys who aren't out to, you know, spy on you when we got the FBI basically wanting to spy on every American.
They also need to stop worrying about the 18-year-olds that go around port scanning.
Real. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
Word bitch.
You had mentioned Oracle.
Yeah.
I didn't get the article because it really didn't interest me, but I did have...
Not very interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, I did have a little conflict of interest here between two websites. Now, one website, well, first I should give you some background information. Oracle designed this entire Unbreakable campaign. Have you heard about this?
I don't know much about Oracle.
Okay, well, Oracle designed this Unbreakable campaign, like the movie.
Oh.
And they have this, I believe it's a new web server, that claims to be, well, unbreakable, meaning you can't break it or break into it. And the founder of Oracle, or at least the CEO, got up on stage and stands there, I'm not sure of his name, he stands there and says, this is unbreakable. You can't get into it. No one will ever get into it. It's like the Bruce Willis movie. You just can't stop it.
Right. Unbreakable is a good movie.
Yeah. And Reuters, or Reuters, as Dash would say.
Reuters.
Fairly positive it's Reuters. Reuters had a nice little article about this, and they mentioned that...
Let me guess what the headline is.
Well, I don't have the headline, but...
Well, let me guess what it would be.
Okay.
15-year-old breaks into Oracle server.
No.
Oracle denies ever saying that it wasn't unbreakable. Okay.
Not at all. Reuters was much more on the side of Oracle.
Oh, I see.
Reuters talked about how Oracle could not be hacked. At least their site, which was running, I believe, the new web server. It says that try as they might, hackers just could not get into Oracle's server that night. Cool, almost right. And it goes on. I don't have the whole thing, and so I'm not going to read it. But it talks about how great Oracle's new web server is. No one can get into it. Unfortunately, over at Security Focus, if you read a different article, it says that one man got up on stage about 2 hours after the speech saying it was unbreakable and found 4 software vulnerabilities. 4. He hooked up a laptop, went to the server, and found 4. A couple of them were buffer overflows in the software. And, I mean, he found 4 of these, man. 4 friggin' holes. And then, of course, and this is true because Oracle later went on to patch them. Now, I don't know about you, Dash, but...
Here, why don't we tell you what they're doing?
Yeah, please.
All right, here's what they're doing. People get up there, and they claim that their software is unbreakable, which makes hackers want to try to break into it. And when they do, they tell them what's wrong with it, and they fix it. It's just like free testing, you know?
Ah, so you're getting my whole conspiracy thinking going here, like I did last week with the don't link to us.
Endless
BS.
Fields, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Endless fields?
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff. Yeah. Well, that's a possibility, but...
That's not a possibility, my friend. That's a fact.
No, it's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
You said it was unbreakable, and Reuters conveniently forgot all about the hacker that managed to find 4 security vulnerabilities. So I think Oracle might be in bed with Reuters. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're in bed with everybody. You know.
Reuters or Oracle?
Reuters.
Reuters is in bed with everybody.
Give them a 5 spot, and you know, they'll print whatever you want them to.
Yeah. Okay, boy, it is late, isn't it?
It's pretty late.
All right, well, let's see what the notebook has here for us. Notebook never lets me down. Boy.
What do we got?
We told people about the new system, about downloading the shows. All right, let's see here. We talked about UCA.edu.
Yeah, UCA.
Has anything aside from that, anything new been going on with you?
Let me think. Anything new? New indoor exciting. No, nothing ever happens to me that's good.
I noticed that. It seems like everything that happens to you just sucks. Okay, well, here, I got some stuff here. Dash, I know you're, I don't know about it, avid, but, I know you enjoy your scanner.
Yeah, I do. I took it out the other day. Went to a friend's house. He lives in some apartment, so I was scanning around there. I like my scanner.
Did you hear anything interesting?
Yeah, I did, actually.
What'd you hear?
I heard a phone conversation where this guy put in his AT&T prepaid phone card number.
And he did this over the open airwaves.
Yeah.
Now, had you had a recorder...
No, well, unfortunately.
Well, had you had one,
yeah, if I brought the one I have, I might have No, I wouldn't have done that.
But you could have.
I could have recorded it.
Uh-huh.
Recorded the tone.
Right, and then you could have had his prepaid calling number.
I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah, and was this in the cellular range, or was this, I'm guessing...
900 band.
900, so it was a portable phone.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
I found the school bus frequency.
The school bus?
Yeah.
What'd you hear on there?
I heard some school bus drivers talk to each other.
Well, that must have been exciting.
Oh, yeah.
You hear the kids in the background?
Yeah, no, well, not really. They were arguing and stuff.
The drivers were?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, one, apparently there was two buses and, you know, they were like sandwiched in somewhere and one bus behind this other bus was honking and stuff and, you know, the driver said, hey, stop honking, I can't go anywhere, so.
Well, it's good to know that that our children are in safe hands. Well, anyway, my reason for bringing this up is because I found something very odd on my scanner.
Which one?
All right, now, Dash, as a scanner enthusiast, I'm sure you realize that there is very seldomly music on a scanner because it's not in the AM range. I mean, sometimes you'll get AM stations, they'll bleed over, and it's certainly not in the FM range, and it's not in the shortwave range. And, you know, so the only music you ever hear is when someone either has a baby monitor next to a radio or someone in their car on the radio, you know, like a police officer, ambulance or something.
Right.
But, for some reason, I found a frequency that's broadcasting nothing but opera music.
Really?
Yeah, I kept listening, I'm saying, all right, this has got to be an AM station bleeding over. You know, sometimes radios have... mirror frequencies where you'll hear one thing on a completely different frequency. It's
hold up. What frequency is it?
Complex story. It's 48.300 megahertz.
All right. 48.300?
Yep.
Alright, cool.
48.300. Now, sometimes I can't get it, sometimes I can. Sometimes I actually have to turn down the squelch, but I'm going to try. Alright, let's see what we can get. 48.300.
Let's
see if I can get it in.
Is that it?
Well, I'm trying to get it in clearly here. I just got... Well.
Yeah, I hear it.
I had it coming in perfect the other night. It sounds horrible. I had to turn down the squelch, but what the hell is music doing on that?
I have no idea.
At 48.300 megahertz, if anyone out there knows about radios and knows exactly what that is, please let me know. I mean, listening to the radio, well, to songs anyway, on a scanner is really not the way to go, but it's pretty damn interesting.
All right, tell me what this is.
That's feedback.
No, it's not feedback. Wait, no, it's not doing it. All right, never mind.
Is it the frequency that sounds like chirping birds?
Hang on.
I can't remember the name of, or exactly what it's called, but I know that's the, like a broad...
See, I don't know what that is, but...
That could be like, that sounds like encrypted traffic going through, like pagers or...
All right, hang on.
It could be anything, really. Anything digital.
Wait, fuck it, never mind.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that if you hear the frequency that has a little chirping bird sound, that's, what's it called? All I know is that it's like a broadcasting frequency. It's the actual radio signal from the scanner itself, and it sounds like chirping birds. That's all I know.
Gotcha. No, man. I think I just found the frequency of the phone I'm on.
You're on a cordless?
Yeah.
And you found your own frequency?
Yeah.
Well, I happen to know mine. I don't think I'm going to give that one out, though, just in case, you know, some person, oh, might be, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
They got their laptop in the car. They got the cell phone hooked up to it. They're listening to us now. They're driving past my house, and they just happen to be listening to that frequency.
Yeah, somebody's out there doing that right now. All right.
Hey, don't put it past them. Don't put it past them. Okay, moving on. I found another cool thing.
Which find?
Yes.
See, all the cool stuff happens to me, and I get this shit end of the stick.
Well, you know, what can I tell you?
Get the cool end, I get the shit end. All right,
well, it's nothing that great, but it's a vulnerability in POP servers, Post Office Protocol. Like I said, you know, it's nothing that's going to get you root, but I sure as hell don't want it there.
What does it do?
Well, you know that you can check your POP mail. It's POP, not Hotmail. You can check your POP mail.
POP.
Right. From Telnet. You can Telnet to your to the POP server that you have an account on and you can go into port 110 and you can log in there and get your email just like you would if you were using something like Outlook Express. Now, a lot of people don't know about this. They just use Outlook Express. But with this, you can actually go right into the server, see what you have waiting for you without downloading it to your hard drive, which is a great way to see if you got any goner.scrs in there, you know, which was a worm that came through a little while ago. Well, anyway, what I noticed in the whole POP telnetting thing was that if you telnet to a POP server, and this didn't work for all, but this worked for some that I tried, what you do, first of all, is you type user and then your username.
Right.
And then it'll say, okay, so you type pass and then a password, and it'll probably say bad login. Now, you type user again, the username. Now, when you hit enter, you would think that it would ask you for a password. But instead, it lets you know that, yes, that username is good. So, what does that mean? Doesn't sound like much. Well, maybe it's not.
Well, it is something.
Yeah. If you want to know what someone's login is, let's face it, they're not going to use anything too crazy. Most people take their last name and, you know, their first initial. It's a really nice way to cut down on all the possibilities for their login. So, for example, I know one person on my local area network here for my cable modem provider, and I thought, well, what the hell? Let me telnet to the email server, and I did so. I typed user. I typed one possible login name, hit enter, and asked me for a password. So I purposely entered an incorrect one and hit enter. Again, asks me for the username. I enter in the same username I did before and hit enter, and this time it says password. Okay. So then I tried a different username, went through those steps again, and this time it says mailbox name, okay. So that was a valid account. I had found that person's mailbox. And it only took a little deductive reasoning. I didn't even have their email, which would be even easier, you know, if you just had their login. This can enable you to find someone's mailbox, and from there, it's just a matter of figuring out what kind of password they would use.
Pretty much. But if you have their email address, I mean, then...
Well, then this is pretty much a moot point, but
yeah.
Let's say someone doesn't have your email, because, well, you want nothing to do with them, but they want something to do with you. All they gotta do is tell that to your email server on port 110, and just keep trying possibilities. And when they find one, I mean, let's face it, if your last name is Smith and your first name is John, well, then, yeah, J. Smith, it could be anybody. But if you have a name like Kulikowski, first name Barbaretta, yeah, you probably got the right person.
Yeah, but a lot of people use, nicknames.
Well, still, then you can go hunting for anybody's email. You can try any name, and when you find one, well, then try variations on that, and you can get in. The bottom line is, I don't like anything that lets someone who's not supposed to have that information get that information, especially when it deals with, you know, my private email.
Right, yeah.
But I just thought I'd bring that up. Okay, what time is it here? We got about 15 more minutes. Dash, why don't you enlighten us?
Oh, man. You want me to enlighten you?
Enlighten me. I know you got more to talk about.
Yeah, I got another article here. I like the headline of it. You want to hear the headline?
Yeah.
Buffer the Overflow Slayer.
I don't find that amusing at all.
Buffer the Overflow Slayer. Come on, man. That's gold.
I'm just going to sip my Pepsi One, which no one else likes except me, and that's the way I like it. Continue.
A buffer overflow vulnerability in login problems in login programs used by Sun, Solaris, and IBM AIX systems could allow crackers to take control of servers, security experts warn. The flaw arises from the way System V derived implementations of login work in conjunction with remote access protocols such as Telnet and rlogin, which are enabled by default on most Unix platforms.
Rlogin. Yeah. Memory. Go ahead.
You just go back to sipping your Pepsi One.
I will do that.
This software bug means environment variables passed over from Telnet and rlogin are handled incorrectly. As a result, a maliciously constructed message might allow hackers to execute arbitrary commands on the target.
I thought it was crackers. They've had crackers before.
As a result.
Huh?
As a result. As a result, a maliciously constructed message might allow hackers to execute arbitrary commands on the target system with super user privilege. The issue is serious because an exploit for the vulnerability has been made public, according to security tools vendor Internet Security Systems, which discovered the problem.
Why don't we have it?
Systems running Solaris 8 and earlier versions of Sun's operating system, as well as IBM AIX versions 4.3 and 5.1, are vulnerable, according to an advisory by CERT. There's no simple workaround for this issue. However, disabling all default terminal communication services and installing SSH will eliminate the vulnerability. Sun is in the progress of testing a patch that will deal with the vulnerability and will be made available here. Here would be the register.co.uk if you want to read that article for yourself.
You like that site, don't you?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Register.co.uk. I gotta check that out. Whew.
So, you know, I just thought I'd bring up that little tidbit of...
The overflow.
Exploit, you know, it was always good.
Do you have the exploit there?
No, I don't, but it has been released, so just go to secureteam.org, I think, and look for it there.
You know you tried it, Dash.
No, I haven't tried it.
Yeah, you did. That's the real reason you got banned, not for some stupid port scan. Who would get banned for a port scan?
You got banned for port scanning. That's some bullshit right there.
That's madness. Pure and utter madness. But you know what else is madness, Dash?
You.
Okay, you know what else is madness?
No, go ahead.
Well, I don't know, but you know what's going to be cool? Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day is going to be cool. Especially on HackerMind.net.
Especially on HackerMind.net.
Christmas Day on HackerMind.net.
Christmas Day, HackerMind.net.
Let me give you a situation here.
All right, situation. hypothetical?
No.
Okay. Lay on me, brother.
Little Johnny. And Little Jane.
Little Jane.
Johnny and Jane. Brother and sister. Oh, both about 6 years old.
Oh.
Christmas Eve. You know, they got their little PJs on with the little feet at the bottom.
They put out the cookies and the milk. And
yeah, they did. They did that already. Okay. They go upstairs.
Yeah, I do, because I'm kind of hungry.
They turn on the TV, and they're watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the little claymation thing.
Yeah, I own that. It's pretty good.
Their big brother, Billy, is on the computer.
Ooh.
He's looking at the clock. Ooh. It's 11:45 p.m. What are those kids doing up?
I don't know.
They should be asleep. Not because Santa Claus is coming, but because something else is coming.
Billy looking at some porn?
No, Billy's not... No, Dash. Damn. So Billy gets up and says, "All right, kids. Come on, you little brats." He says it with love. "It's time to go to bed." So he throws them in their respective rooms. They hit the hay. They're out like lights. After Billy eats all the food,
that son of a bitch,
he goes back on the computer. Ooh, 11:58.
Oh,
oh boy. 11:59. 12. It's Christmas Day.
Where's Santa? I want my toys.
Then he opens up. Well, I don't recommend he opens up Netscape because HackerMind.net's got some serious problems with Netscape.
Yeah.
So he opens up
Internet Explorer.
And he types in www.hackermind.net on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, HackerMind.net.
Yeah.
What does he see?
Well, I guess we'll have to wait to find out, won't we?
Yeah, I guess we will.
Yeah. But Billy loves it. Billy loves it. Now, John and Jane, they're sleeping. They're waiting for Santa, but Billy knows where the real action is. It's on HackerMind.net, Christmas Day.
Minimizes the porn window and goes to HackerMind.net.
You got this thing with porn, don't you?
Billy's got the problems, man.
You know, I think you got the problems.
Yeah.
So Christmas Day comes, right?
Yeah, okay.
All right, no. I'm saying it's here. Now, little Johnny and little Jane get up, go downstairs, tear open their presents. You know, they got their new HackerMind shirts. They got their new Hackers Interrupted CDs.
Right.
Like, those will be done. Yeah, right. But they're almost done, folks. Relax. We'll have them by next month. And then you know what?
What?
Billy comes walking downstairs, and he goes, whoa, you won't believe what's on HackerMind.net. All right? So the kids are like, okay. You know, they don't care.
Well, they should care. This guy hacked my T-shirt for Christmas.
Yeah, but two Secret Santas sent them to him, and they don't know who they are, and so don't worry about it.
All right.
But Billy knows. Billy knows where the action is, and he calls all of his friends, and he says, guys, go to HackerMind.net on Christmas Day. Hurry up. By midnight tonight, it'll be gone. You got to go there now. Check it out. It's like... It's unlike anything else you've ever seen on HackerMind.net.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, maybe that is a hypothetical, but it's a good story for the kiddies.
It was a nice story. It's a nice story.
It was a nice story. What? Did you ask me for another one?
No.
Go eat your milk and cookies. All right. You know Unreal.
I know Unreal. Kind
of. Okay. Well, him and I were talking, and he was telling me about how his phone network and his university has so many restrictions on it. You know, like, you can't dial certain carriers. You can't dial anything.
You dial anything, you just pick up a phone, you can't dial.
No, you dial 911, you get, shoot.
Oh, man. That's...
Internal operator.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a lie, but... You know what I'm saying? You can't dial anything. If you try to be a wise guy and dial Vartek to make a call for cheaper than the cost of the phone they have, you can't do it. The only thing you can call is an 800 number to use your calling card. So that's how he has to make a call. Now, fortunately, you can choose your own calling card, and he has an MCI one. So, you know, of course... I was playing around with it. It's a 10-digit code for the phone card. I was messing around with it. But what I wanted to do, for just curiosity's sake, you know, before I go pounding in random numbers trying to crack a phone card code, which I don't recommend you do, I thought it would be a little bit wiser to call through AT&T. But when I did, I got something that just made no sense whatsoever.
What'd you get?
Well, later I figured out that it's probably because they don't want you calling through AT&T because they're MCI and, you know, they say naw.
Oh.
But here's what you get when you dial the regular 800 number. So, Dash, don't go anywhere. This is the regular 800 number.
Welcome. Hi. For English, press 1. Para instrucciones en español, marque. Please enter your PIN now. The PIN you entered is invalid.
Well, I figured it might be, okay?
Yeah, that was 1111111.
That was 5555555.
Yeah.
But now, before I go and try that again, I thought, well, you know what? I should probably call through AT&T, you know, at least make some attempt to hide my ANI so they don't have me on record. Now, of course, there's no anonymity. I mean, everything you do is marked by SS7 somewhere.
Everything you do is logged.
Exactly.
Every phone call you make.
Yep.
Recorded.
No. But listen to what happens when I dial through AT&T. Again, dash, Dolly.
Yeah.
Number once again. And listen to what
we're doing. Thank you for using AT&T.
This is MCI. Just keeps on going.
What the goddamn hell?
I don't know.
W-H-T.
Okay.
3.
Yeah.
L.
Right.
F.
Okay.
4.
I.
A.
Okay.
D.
So you call them up through AT&T, and then you get this weird, and I do mean weird, recording with that lady just saying a bunch of letters and numbers.
H. 9.
Why didn't I write them down? I had a phone number in there or something.
W. H.
But, yeah, talk about cooperation between the phone companies. I tried to call...
What was that?
I don't know. But no other phone company lets you dial an 800 number through their operator service. You try Vartech? Nope, won't work. You try MCI? No. Can't do that. Can't complete your call. I don't know what it was, but it was some sort of intercept recording that's meant to throw you off because they don't want you calling... Yeah, I think it's probably AT&T's fault. They don't want you calling an MCI service.
Well, they can just...
Go suck a log.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, what else did I find? Oh, the other day, I was coming home from class, and I stopped on the Merritt Parkway. I pulled into a rest stop that I commonly go to play around with the payphones. Well, aside from the fact that the first two payphones I tried were disconnected... I eventually found two, and out of curiosity, I thought to myself, I wonder how much AT&T charges from a payphone. I never tried it. I never had any reason to use them. And I said to myself, you know, if you use their carrier access code, these phones already had AT&T, but still, if I dial through their carrier access code, they would charge me a surcharge. But I wanted to know how much it would be. I thought to myself, well, come on, it's a payphone. People got quarters in their pocket, not dollar bills. Can't get a dollar bill into this machine. So I dialed the carrier access code, 1010-2880, and I got the friendly recorded operator service, and I entered in my cell phone number. And my cell phone is sitting in my car. It's in the same zip code. Same zip code, too. And you know how much they wanted for that call, Dash?
$50,000.
$3.10.
Good. Oh, have mercy.
$3.10, and that's probably for the first 3 minutes.
That's ridiculous.
They wanted $3.
You gotta bring a big old bag of quarters up there and just throw them on the thing and just start pouring them in there.
Now, obviously any rational person, any sane person would be saying, well, why would you want to use a different carrier at a payphone? Well, it's quite simple. They might not have long-distance service. Maybe you dial 00 and you don't get an operator, so you want to use a different long-distance company. And when you do, boom, you got to pay $3.10 to cover their extortion fee, or they call it a surcharge.
Extortion fee, I like that. That's what it is.
Now, each company has different prices, so what I'm considering doing is when I have absolutely nothing else to do, going to a payphone and just writing down exactly how much of a surcharge each company charges.
You should do
We can put that in a future issue of Frequency. And speaking of Frequency, time to close the notebook. Again, let's thank the notebook for a job well done.
Very good.
Bravo. Speaking of Frequency, we received a cover from Kryptonite, I should say. And I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a cool cover that he sent us. Now, it's kind of Christmas-themed, but I'd say it could be used any time of the year, so we're probably going to be releasing it with the next issue. Although, I do want to point out that we haven't been receiving as many articles as we'd like to receive. I know I talked about this with you, Dash.
Yeah, you told me about that, yeah.
You don't have to get into details, but we're certainly not receiving as many articles as we would like to. Now,
disappointing with some people.
Yeah, we've had, we have more readers than ever, and we have more listeners than ever. Not tonight, I mean, we came on late. But we're getting less and less articles in. Now, I don't know if the quality of the articles has risen to the point where most people are intimidated to write in. I don't know if people just aren't getting a kick out of this anymore or what. But, it's either keep releasing these every single month with less articles in them. And, you know, quite honestly, so far we got maybe one article into Freak 17. You know, and Freak 17 should be released in a couple weeks already. So what I'm considering doing is maybe releasing them once every 2 months or just whenever they're finished. Now, hopefully we will never get to the point where Frack is at, where they come out once every, 8 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's up to you. I mean, hell, we'll keep releasing them every month if we can, but we need the material.
Yeah, but if, you know, if you don't have enough, content to fill an issue, then we might have to, take some more time.
Yeah, it's either, what's the word I'm looking for here? Quality or quantity? And now, I prefer quality.
I prefer both.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what we've been doing so far, but now we have a couple new projects coming out that we want to try. But, we want to keep Frequency going because this is the easing of the hacker mind. And so we have to keep getting that out to the people and letting them see what's going on. But we need your voice to do that. So that's pretty much it. That's all I have for this week.
All right, wait, let me ask you something.
Okay.
Have we gotten any listener mail?
We got the article cover, and I have gotten some emails from people. I didn't print them out. I didn't, put them on Notepad or anything to read at the moment.
Didn't we have one from a guy who violated our web linking policy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence.
A very strict policy against...
Yeah, that bastard decided to go and link to us.
They have a very strict policy about that.
Yeah, but don't worry, folks. Lawrence will be dealt with harshly.
Yeah.
He linked to us. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that. He said that to me, and I was like, oh, my God.
All right. Well, we'll go beat him with a trout, perhaps a wet noodle as well. I don't know. But we're running late here, so we got to get going. But
we got stuff to do.
We have operators to mess with.
We got nothing to do. We're good.
And we have a lot to do.
We're gonna get off here and watch TV.
Computers
and go to bed. We don't do anything.
We do lots, Dash. What are you talking about, folks? Keep on checking out HackerMind.net. And post on the board, send in those articles for Frequency, and write a letter to Dash. It makes him feel good. Right, Dash?
Yeah, the man's always fucking with me. He's always, beating me in the back of the head with the Billy Club. He's got his foot on my back.
He does.
Keeps me down in the dirt.
See you next week. Bye-bye.